I see some of you are even wearing your jerseys. Is there a game on today? Who's going to win? On the count of three, shout it out. One, two, three. Wow. Okay. Well, I guarantee one of them will win today. Well, as we come to this time and we are preparing for the sacrament of Holy Communion, we're going to be sharing some thoughts about that this morning. And if you had to define a sacrament, how would you explain it to somebody? If you grew up in catechism, you probably already know the answers. If you grew up with confirmation, maybe you remember the answer, or as soon as I give it to you, many of you are going to go, yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what I thought. A sacrament is an outward sign of an inward grace. So it's something that we do on the outside that celebrates what Christ is doing on the inside. In some churches, they have up to seven sacraments. We in the Protestant Church and the United Methodist Church only observe two. Anybody know what those two are? Baptism and communion. Now, we believe in all the things that are considered sacraments in other churches, but the reason we only hold on to these two is because these are the ones that Christ said, go therefore and do. Matthew chapter 28, he says, go therefore and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He also says in Luke 22, as he's sharing the sacrament of the Last Supper with his disciples, he says, do this in remembrance of me. And so we believe that there's this mysterious grace of God that's happening inside of us more than what we can see on the outside, but it's an outward and a visible sign of an inward grace. In our passage today, Paul is counseling the church on how to respond to the Lord's Supper appropriately. Now, if you've ever heard this before, you know, church would be great except for what? All the... Apparently, it's only a pastor thing. Church would be great except for all the people. Because anytime you get a group of people together, you have some great ideas. I mean, I know I have started a church before, and I had some great ideas. And then all the people came. And what's wrong with people? It's like, well, there's nothing wrong with people except for they're imperfect. And everybody comes along with their idea of how things ought to be. And thank you for your thoughts and prayers about how things ought to be. We get help all the time about how we should do things differently. But I want you to know that Paul is writing somewhere 20 to 30 years right after the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the church has already formed. It's already come together. And the people have already messed it up. In fact, when he's writing here into the church of Corinth, he says, you've messed it up. You're not doing things right. And so he's trying to counsel them about how to do it appropriately. So let's take a look at our passage this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 26. It's entitled, The Lord's Supper. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. And when you come together, it is not to the Lord's Supper you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another one gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, I did some research some years ago to try to figure out, because people have asked me over the years, and I don't know, I grew up that way. Why do we only have it once a month, okay? Well, here's the reason we do it once a month, because the United Methodist Church got its start immediately following the Revolutionary War. When the king called all the priests back to England, John Wesley got indignant and said, wait a minute, there's Christians over there, and they need the sacrament of Holy Communion, and they need baptism for the new believers who are coming into the fold of God. And this is what I love about John. He had no power of his own. He had no power through the church, but he ordained two bishops to come back over here and start laying hands and ordaining new pastors in the faith. But the problem is we had this young country that was so spread out, and we didn't have enough pastors to go around, and so they would be in what they called circuits. I'm the great, great, great grandson of a circuit rider, a pastor who literally went on horseback and had several churches. And the problem was they couldn't get there every week. They couldn't get there every other week. And so they began to just make it at least once a month to do all the baptisms for all the new believers and to share the sacrament of Holy Communion. So that's how we got to where we are today in this church. We've followed a pattern of many other churches, and it's usually the first Sunday of every month is how we've celebrated it. But listen to this. Why should we do this? Because there's a lot of people who have misunderstandings about the sacrament of Holy Communion. And here's the number one reason we should do it. Number one, it's a command. It's a command of Jesus Christ. He didn't say, go ye therefore, and if you feel like it. Go ye therefore, and whenever you can. He said, go therefore and do. Do this in remembrance of me. And so if you don't remember anything else today, say, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. If Jesus thought it was important for me to do this, then I'm going to get myself in line. Just the simple obedience. There is a mystery of the grace of the sacrament that goes way deeper than we can even understand. And so some people don't treat it appropriately. Some people don't come thoughtfully. Some people don't come reverently. But if nothing else, we say, but we do come obediently because Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. And number two, it's a continual remembrance of his sacrifice. We have to keep celebrating it together, and we keep remembering of all that he has done for us. Each time we take the sacrament of Holy Communion, we remember what Jesus did for us. We remember his words at the Last Supper as he was preparing for his death, his crucifixion, his resurrection, as he was preparing for that, I even love. And so we need to take this seriously because of remembering what it cost Christ. The grace is free for us, but it didn't come freely. You know, Jesus himself was fully divine, fully God, but he was also fully human. And I have a love-hate relationship with the passage of thinking about Jesus being in the garden before this and saying, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup. He knew in his flesh this was going to be painful. It was going to be difficult, and it was going to cost him everything. But then he says, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Because in his divinity, he knew there was no other way. And God would not ask him to do something if there was another way. Sometimes when people ask me, you know, is Jesus really the only way? And it's like, my goodness, if there's any other way, then why the cross? God wouldn't ask Jesus to do it if there was another way. And so out of reverence, out of remembrance, then we come to this table and we preach and teach and we remember his sacrifice that was given for us. How many of you are married? How many of you have ever forgotten an anniversary? How many of you forgot it twice? John, I saw your hand. They've been married 2 months. Come on. But I'll remind you, though. That's right. Yeah. I remember all of them. No, I remember theirs because they got married on New Year's Eve. So I know when y'all got married. But the point is being is sometimes we kind of things sneak up on us. And then your wife usually says things like, did you forget something? And you go, no. What? Yes. Oh, wait. This is supposed to be special. And so I encourage her to tell me way ahead of time. I know ours is coming up in September. I've done this for now 35 years. It's either one day or the other, but please tell me and I'll just go ahead and get ready for it, okay? So she's good to me about remembering. This year we will celebrate 35 years together. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Honey, that one goes out to you for an appreciation putting up with me for 35 years. But the point is, when we have something kind of a special occasion, when we have grandchildren or children and we want to make their birthday special, we put effort into it. We go all out for it because it's something to be taken consideration of. And building those relationships with those that we care about. Every time we take the sacrament of Holy Communion, we are remembering Christ and how much he cared about us, how much he loved for us, and how much he gave up for us. And so we do this in remembrance. It's more than remembrance. It's co-remembrance. I love what John Wesley said. He said, "I hasten to this sacrament because for the same reason that St. Peter and John hasten to the sepulcher," which is a tomb. They hasten to the tomb because I hope to find him there. Every time we come to the sacrament of Holy Communion, it's more than just remembering, it's co-remembering and believing that Jesus is with us through this sacrament. We hasten to it because I hope to find him there. Number three is it contains the power of forgiveness. That's the whole point. That's why we're here. That's why he did what he did. That's why we celebrate week in and week out. Did you know every single weekend we have a little Easter? It's a celebration of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ because of what he has done for us. It has power. Some people treat it lightly, and some people don't really understand. I was a new pastor, and I was new at wearing the robe and the stole, and we were having to do communion at the altar rail, and there was a ginormous pulpit and a ginormous lectern, and we had to keep serving and then going up the steps and around and serving the new line that was coming through. I was new at the robe thing. I stepped on my dress several times, spilled some of my cookies, but I made sure that there was enough. So it was behind the pulpit, so I just gathered them back in to make sure I had enough for everybody as they came around. And as I was coming one time, and then I handled this little four-year-old boy. I handed him his first communion, and he took it, immediately popped it in his mouth. And if you've ever seen the movie Big with Tom Hanks, as fast as he was eating the caviar, it came tumbling back out. The same thing with his little boy. He took the wafer, he put it into his mouth, and he started coming right back out. And he had it in his hand, and he looked up at his mommy and said, "Mommy, I don't like my cookie." Anybody that's ever had the wafers, we get it. We understand. You don't like it. But I want you to know that even this little boy, there's something special and miraculous that's happening. If you have ever taken it unworthily, if you have taken it when you didn't understand it, in fact, if we had to understand it, none of us would be able to take it because it is a mysterious grace of God, but it has power. Everybody say power. Power. It's not about you. Turn to somebody and say, "It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about what you get. It's not about what you understand. It is about what Jesus did. It's about what he said. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And we do it in remembrance of him. But it also has power, the power of Jesus Christ in it. Even as the bread and the juice nourish our bodies, Jesus is nourishing our soul through the mystery of the sacrament of Holy Communion. Each time we receive the sacrament, we are reminded that we are forgiven. That's why we're here. We want to be forgiven of our sins and so that we can have eternal life with Jesus Christ. Number four, it is to be taken frequently. For it holds the ongoing grace to resist evil. Now, I've already explained why we ended up with it being once a month. But some churches, and many of my churches, we have taken it every single week. Sometimes people show up for communion, and sometimes people get mad when they miss the first Sunday because they go, ah, you know, we missed it, and we're not going to be able to have it again for another entire month. And yet, when you understand what it's really all about, you're supposed to take it. John Wesley said, take it as often as you can. John Wesley received the sacrament of Holy Communion every single week. And if it was offered in between, he took it then. Because it has this grace. Not only for the forgiveness of sins. How many of you gave your life to Christ a long time ago? How many of you have sinned since? Same amount of hands should go right back up. Yeah, we're still struggling. We're still facing. In fact, next week we're going to start a whole new series on a Lenten series about Jesus and being in the wilderness. That's what Ash Wednesday does. It kicks off the Lenten season where we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about his temptations and we're going to talk about overcoming our own temptations. But John Wesley said, if it's a spiritual grace of God, by that mystery, there's something that's happening into it. And actually what it's doing is strengthening our souls. Because when we come into church, very few people are thinking about sin. Some of you are thinking about sin just because I said you're not thinking about sin, so now you're thinking about sin. But you're not. You're because you're with the people of God. You're thinking about God. You're singing his words, his hymns, and you're reading his word, and you're listening to the message. And so this is you're elevated. Man, you're right up next to heaven when you're in church. But then you go home. And I want you to think about it this way. How many of you remember Hot Wheels? Okay? When I was a little kid, I was an introvert. Mama sent me to my room for something, not that I would have done anything bad. Maybe she just needed peace. I don't know. She sent me to my room. I was like, okay, whatever. I had all kind of toys in there. And one of them I loved to play with is Hot Wheels. Had that kind of orange-yellow track and the little red connectors to put them together. And I would do all kind of intricate designs. And one of the things I would do is climb way up to the top of the ceiling because the higher you went, the faster your cars could go. And it could do things like loop-de-loops or even make jumps. And so that's what I would love to do. And then somewhere about the early 70s, they came out with something really cool. It was called a supercharger. How many of you know about the superchargers? Yeah? As a supercharger kind of looked like either a house or a filling station or something like that. And so what it would have is by battery power, it would have two little wheels inside that were rubber. And as the cars were running out of energy, they would go into this little filling station and it shot out the other end. And they would go back around, do the jumps and the loop-de-loops and all that kind of stuff. And I tell you that to tell you this, that this is what I kind of see like the sacrament of Holy Communion is like, is because when we're in church, man, we're fired up and we're filled with the grace and the knowledge and the love and the peace of Jesus Christ. But then we get back into the world. And you can almost feel our spiritual energy draining. And the less we're involved in church, the less we're partaking of the sacraments, then the less strength we have to resist temptation. If temptation wasn't fun, we wouldn't be drawn to it. But sometimes when we get tired, we say, oh, I know God doesn't want us doing that, but you know what? Right now, I need to feel good, so I'm going to do this. And we give in to sin. We give in to temptation, and it takes us even farther away from God. But John Wesley said, do it as often as you can, for there's this ongoing grace, almost a perpetual grace of Jesus Christ that helps strengthen our spirit and our soul so that we can resist temptation, that we can resist evil, so that we can live the abundant life of Jesus Christ. Number five, it's open to all. And this is one of the reasons that I am in the United Methodist Church and have loved the United Methodist Church, because sometimes you've been to other services and you don't get invited to the table. And they say, if you're not in our church, if you didn't get baptized right, if you're not a believer like we believe, then you're not invited. And I want you to hear, I'm a John 3:16 kind of guy. For God so loved the world, his arms are wide. The invitation is wide. And even like that little four-year-old boy who didn't understand it, maybe there's people here who don't understand it. At some level, none of us really understand it. But all are invited, all are welcome to come and to share in the sacrament of Holy Communion. John Wesley believed that even through the sacrament of Holy Communion, somebody could get in line or wait and not know. But through the sacrament, the presence of Jesus Christ, they would become believers. And so the invitation is for all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would never perish, but have everlasting life.